It's gotta be pretty much.
As soon as Supervisor Lytle is ready, we'll get started. 8:46 on the clock. Let's call it order. The Gage County Board of Supervisors here Wednesday, January 21st, 2015. Please stand for Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall behind the media table. Attendance by observation, Jurgentil, Dorn, Bowen, Lytle, Byers, Thiemann. Next is what we're going to go through is our reorganization of the Board of Supervisors. This will also, from our previous meeting, the Board of Equalization will substitute as officers for the Board of Equalization. I'll turn this over to the clerk.
I would like to nominate Myron Dorn for chairman.
Second.
Okay, guess not. Okay, Byers for Dorn. Okay, are there any other nominations? Anyone? You want to vote? Someone make a motion for unanimous?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All right. Well, then, Mr. Dorn, you can take over for the vice chairman then. Oh, wait a minute. Let's vote for Myron first.
Yeah, let's work.
Okay. 7-0.
Good job. Okay.
Ceremonially handy the gavel, so there you go. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate Gary Lytle for vice chair.
Second.
Second. I move that nominations be closed and unanimous ballot cast for Mr. Lytle.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bowman.
Okay.
Go ahead and vote.
Remember, Mr. Chairman, you're voting for me today, and I'm for you. So.
Yes.
You'll be cantankerous. We'll switch this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
7-0.
All
yours.
Consent agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 7, 2015. Approve all claims through January 21st, 2015 in the amount of, mine doesn't have it on it.
It's on.
Oh, here.
Oh, no.
Read this one.
$449,995.29. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve bank depositories. Security First Bank, Adams State Bank, State Bank of Odell, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, Citizens State Bank, First National Bank of Omaha, State Farm Bank, and Pate. Approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare a levy request. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Approved designation of official county newspapers. Approved designating Gage County website as an additional method of providing notice of any meeting or public notices. Approved Don Hill as the NERMA contact person. Approved November 12, 2015 as an official board date. Meeting date as November the 11th is Veterans Day and the courthouse will be closed that day. Approved district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of December 2014. Approve Becky Borgman as the weed superintendent for Gage County. Approve permit number 1010 to Windstream Nebraska Incorporated to replace 1,240 feet of bad cable. Will bore under CMP and plow in 1,240 feet of new cable 4 foot deep along south shoulder of Township Road in the northwest fourth of Section 12. Township 1N, Range 8 East, Liberty Township. Approve of MOU letter indicating approval for NEMA to maintain the hazardous material emergency grant and continue to offer support through the creation, update of the LEOP, hazmat training, et cetera, on the county's behalf and authorizing the emergency management director to sign said letter. Oh, do you have a list of the newspapers?
That's my question.
We have The Voice. The newspapers are Beatrice Daily Sun, Wymore, Arbor State, and The Voice, Hickman Voice newspaper. Any other additions, Christian?
I'll just make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, item 1 through 16.
Second.
Motion made by Malvin to approve, second by Lytle. Any other discussion? All in favor? Oh, go ahead and vote. Vote was 7-0. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anybody?
It's over. Equalization's over.
Over to equalization. Just enough to input to you guys later on your record. You start at 9, don't you?
8:45.
8:45. We started already. If you'd like to, you could sure make comments now, yeah.
Oh, you want comments now before
you
start?
Yeah. Give your name and address.
Len Hart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. I got a pretty good agenda here. I'll start out a little slow, like. First thing, I guess, that I kind of wondering about the Wymore Liberty Road. How is that thing? Who okays that it's accepted? I mean, what is the scoop on that thing? You know, there's some money. That thing ain't going to hold up in the future, I don't believe it. From the comments I've heard from different people over there traveling it, and so I was wondering about your pay. Did you hold anything back till it?
Go ahead, Myron. You know about the bond.
We paid like a million. I shouldn't say that much on that road. We paid most of the payment to them. We held 5% in retainage fee, and we're currently about 140-some thousand. We're in negotiations with on the work that they've done so far on the road. And we made some offers to them and had some discussions with them, and we haven't come to an agreement on that amount of money yet, whether or not we owe that. And as far as who, Galen and his crew, and then Mark Minnelli with our Minnelli and Wagner that we hired to do that, they will see if that work is acceptable, and they'll visit with us and make recommendations, and then based on all that, we'll decide what to do. But we did hold 5% of the, it was a little bit over a total of a $4 million contract with constructors for Philly Adams and the Odell and that road, and we have in retainage 5% or a little bit over $200,000 that the county is holding for up to a year.
Okay. Have you heard comments from public traveling it?
Some, yes. Yeah. There is some patching that they have to come back in the spring to do that. It wasn't done last fall.
How about when they poured it in the rain? I mean, how is that holding up?
That part, that's part of the negotiation part that we're doing right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wonder, Norton, I mean, there shouldn't be no pay. I mean, they should owe you the way it looks to me. Okay. Now, here's another thing I'd like to have you guys promote. I didn't see it in the Daily Sun, but the Lincoln paper's got it on tax relief for property tax relief on the schools and everybody, you know, as far as that goes. And they've got an income tax deal. I think it's, I don't know if it'll get in the hopper or how far it's up the line. And I'd like you guys to kind of promote that we get a little property tax relief. Right now, let's see. Just to give you an example on the one farm which cash rented, I pay 31% of the gross income goes to local property tax. Now, you guys, your salary, what you're getting, you voted yourself an increase a year ago here, I think I was. Now, I don't believe you're paying 31% in local taxes offer your part-time salary jobs. So there's a lot of issues coming up on, so I would like to see that you guys kind of see what's going on in the state if you can on some of the things. Now, okay, there's that. Hey, Gus, you're doing a good job. Comment
thank you
on it. Saving 40,000 miles. You can save another 40,000 if you keep them off the road and in the daytime and just run them at night. So, but okay, I'm back again from, I didn't go to Arizona.
We noticed one.
But anyhow, okay, you know, we had last fall, there were some comments at election time, like the county maybe didn't, taxes wasn't put up, you know, that they really wasn't increased too much. I've got a few figures here I'd like just to listen to. This is, I went back a few years. This is 2007. The county had $4,734,929. They had $1,750 and seven cents in property that was state aid. And in 2013, the tax was $8,579,190.61, and we had $2,130,929.03 in state aid. So it doubled. So I mean, and I thought, you know, there's comments made, but the majority, like on the school tax, you know. Well, I can give you an example here of what happened. It's about the same deal at Fremont School District, you know, when they was promoting that you got to merge and that would be cheaper. Well, that ain't the case. And then they let them opt out, and then they got the little district tore apart. But here's the Freeman deal. That was 2007. $2,218.48. Okay, and the state aid was $561.64. Now in 2013, here it is, $3,646,254.43, and the state aid was $878.85.52. And so here it's supposed to get cheaper, I mean, with mergers, and that don't even include the bonds, the figures I've got here. So that kind of gives you an idea. And then 80% of the increase come off of land valuations increases. And land really should be an inventory because you need it. I mean, it flexes back and forth. It shouldn't be considered permanent that you're worth that much more just because this is what the price is today, and how do you know where it'll be in the future? On up the line. So I just want to bring you up a little on it and on a few things, but the road is the one that kind of, so I would appreciate if get a little something in the paper on the income taxes that might be coming and promoted to our state senator. Okie doke.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you. I
got to
congratulate
you. Any other comments from the public? If not, we'll have committee reports. Buildings and ground?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Equalization.
Same, everything going well.
Finance.
It's you.
Actually, you. I just want to make this. I'm looking at you. Yeah. This comment, though, one of the bills we did have with Obamacare coming in, and not to pick on that or nothing, but we did. The county did pay $11,857 this time out of petty cash, and it was for our ACA Transitional Reinsurance Program annual enrollment and contribution submission. That was what the county's so much for every employee that we ended up, the county ended up paying to the government as part of that Obamacare or whatever. So I forgot to mention that earlier when we had claims.
The ACA is the Affordable Care Act.
Affordable Care Act, yeah.
Right.
But that was the county's dues. Anybody, it was so much per employee. It was so much per employee. And next year it will be some, yet it'll be a smaller amount. So
about
for
half, supposedly.
About half. So for 2 years there is a contribution from all employers that have employees. So many employees. Mm-hmm. Human resource. Kathy's not here. So. Law enforcement.
I think all we really got is on the agenda here in a little bit.
Okay. Road and Bridge.
Myron, we had a fairly lengthy discussion. We talked about it's coming up, which direction we should go on the loader. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Galen's been working with Mark Minnelli's office, reviewing and making recommendations for the upcoming 1 and 6 year plan. I think that's due by March 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Jerry Meyer was here from Beatrice Concrete, and it came to our attention that the north 3 miles on the Homefield Road is being used, and of course we knew that, but by trucks that are capable of carrying up to 95,000 legally with the axles they have there. Our signage is correct that we posted. Our intention at the time was to keep our blacktop roads in the best shape that we could for as long as we could. So that's why our axles are correct. We've got 20,000 on a single axle, 34,000 on a tandem, and 42,000 on a group of three axles. Well, and those are all correct. Those are still standards we have to keep. But the difference is, at the bottom line, we put a total gross of 80,000. In this case, these gravel trucks that are coming out of the pit out there have seven axles. So they're capable of carrying 95,000 legally. So with that being said, and that's basically the only route that they use. He said they try to stay off most county roads because they understand that they're not really built for that constant heavy traffic. With that being said, and we'll discuss this later in the upcoming, would like to take that north 3 miles coming out of the rock quarry and change it to state standard, which would be the 95,000. They're not going over axle, as we have posted there, but they will have more axles so they legally can carry the weight then. So that's coming up, and that was a big item. It was probably an oversight on mine on that particular thing. Another big ticket item could be down there. We had some trouble with a motor patrol. It had 8,650 hours on it, 2009, and the motor seized up on it. So it's getting taken to Lincoln, be evaluated, and we'll come back with some costs, what recommendation will be then. So.
Yeah. Just one other quick comment on the 1 or 6 year plan. I believe at our next meeting we're going to have discussion on the 6 year, on the 1 and 6 year plan, and then the meeting in February 18th, we will have a public hearing and hopefully approval on that day, because that's our day that we need to approve it. So. 9:30
is what we have
at 9:30 on the 18th, we'll have a public hearing on the 1 and 6 year road plan and stuff. But our next meeting, we will set a time aside a time for discussion also on it, because Galen and Mark, they hope to have it here to present it already at our next board meeting, and then we'll have some discussion on it at that time. But then on the 18th, we'll have a public hearing on it. Next up on the agenda, accept, reject, or award bid for track loader.
Go ahead. Myron, I'd like to make a motion to accept the bid from Caterpillar for the track loader. It's been recommendation coming out of Galen's office that we accept the Cat bid without the warranty, which is the amount of $133,440. The extra 5-year warranty, or 4-year actually, if you want to look at it that way, is an extra $15,000. We felt it would be a better buy or better way to go. We feel comfortable with equipment, and recommend not to go with the optional warranty on this particular loader. Now, with that being said, and we discussed this, we had bids from John Deere, bids from Caterpillar. The John Deere bid was considerably cheaper at the time, but there was some misfiguring as far as the buyback. It was included in the final price. So essentially, I mean, the prices that were read at the board meeting were correct the way it was stated, but just tabulations were figured differently. So in the end, the price from Caterpillar was considerably cheaper. So that's the machine we decided to recommend to go with. So
you made that a motion?
Yes.
And now I need a second.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, second by Hill. Any more discussion? Yeah, now I'll second what you said, too. The John Deere guy, they were kind of anxious out in the hall after that meeting, because that wasn't the number that he thought was he had presented.
And Myron, the John Deere rep is here if he'd like to come up and
explain that, too, maybe.
Yes.
I'm Greg with Murphy Tractor,
just
for the record. What I did, I guess, in previous bids is a lot of counties want the total bid after the repurchase, what it would cost the county after the 5 or 7 year repurchase. So that's what I put in the bid, and that's what was read. Caterpillar did exactly the opposite, is they did not put in the buyback, and that's what was read. So therefore, the substantial difference that was in the beginning basically flip-flopped, and now the Caterpillar was on the substantial advantage side. So that's why I wanted to come, just to explain that. That's what I did, just reading. There were a lot of figures on that, on the bid sheet, and I guess that's the way I interpreted it. And it was interpreted differently by the Caterpillar, and no harm, no foul on my. We just need to make sure that the numbers, everybody's looking at the same numbers for both situations.
Yeah. That was it more than anything. We just wanted to make sure that we were comparing the same numbers from both of you. And after some discussion, especially you guys and Galen, that we did come to that conclusion and everything. So that's why we're ending up going with the Cat bid this time and not Murphy's John Deere bid.
Yeah, and I understand why you're doing it. I just wanted to make sure that it was clear to everybody how I figured it versus how they figured it, why the numbers the way they were. That's how it went. And also, I'd just like to thank you guys for the opportunity to bid, however the vote turns out. But I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to bid and for your past and future business.
Thank you.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down and for your comments.
Yep.
Clarifying that.
And the guy, and can't remember his name from CAT, he was at our Monday committee meeting, too, and visited with us about the bids or whatever, so because he couldn't make it here today. Any more discussion? Go ahead and vote. Vote was 7-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove resolution on... Oh, that's a timed event, probably. No?
No.
No, it's not. Approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit 2015-1 for the placement of residence next to a livestock facility setback requirement located in the northwest one-fourth of Section 21 Highland Township.
Motion to approve.
Resolution 1501-01.
What's it, Don?
15-01.
15-01.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just I did have a phone call from Mr. Niemeyer that he and the landowner did come up with an agreement that they were going to submit to the Register of Deeds as part of the agreement, but or part of the documentation, but they have reached a mutual agreement of how they will coexist.
And I did take a look at it myself also. If you go down that road, this house, I think, is the closest one to the hog unit, and there are actually two more housings, you know, straight directly to the west of it. So, you know, if they can get along, I see no problem myself either. So,
go ahead and vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove interlocal agreement for cooperative all hazard mitigation planning effort. I think we all have a copy of that. Is Tim here? Oh, Tim, do you want to come up and visit about that?
This is the first one I've been involved with. I missed the prior one, so it's new to me also. The agreement just is what it says it is. It's just something where we're working together, the other counties in the area, also the NRDs in the area, Little Blue, the upper and lower Big Blue, to get a plan together where we can, the hazard mitigation, you gather your ideas and plans together, and then it allows you to be in the running for grants that will fit for us in the areas. And so you look for weaknesses in your area. One of the things that the last mitigation plan was kind of designed to do was to the locals felt that storm shelters were a need, and that's where most of that money come from to cover or help assistance with installing storm shelters. With that grant, they got 75% return on the money that they invested on that, so it was a really good deal for them. Currently, we have 7 installed. One I know is in the workings. Looking through the numbers, I think you discussed, when we discussed about the storm shelters in the past, that you thought there's probably more that were on the list, and I've looked at the list, and there's like 26 that were told that applied for that. Of course, when they applied for that, they only dispersed the money equally through the region that part of that grant, and so everybody got kind of a fair share at that. So they distribute the money equally. So that just allowed how many people that we could apply for it. So this will get us a second running for possible if the storm shelters are what we're looking at for assistance in. Other weaknesses at the villages and townships and towns fire departments. Those type of entities can apply for money from that grant. So that is just.
But
basically
Lower Big Blue is responsible as the coordinating agency.
Correct.
And as we're doing estimates, the estimates right now, the county sponsor is that us. We're looking at that share of being a little over $3,333
per
county.
Right, and how that's going to come about? I can use the time that I spend. 50% of it, because I'm funded 50% from federal, can't commingle funds, but 50% of my time can be put towards in-kind.
Okay.
Any type of discussion, like when we have planning meetings between the townships or whoever shows up at meetings, that money or that time is put towards in-kind, and with all that time invested, there should be no additional cost towards the county if all the the county, not the time, is listed.
Matt, this is just a continuation of the system.
That's correct.
When I was involved with emergency management some time ago, part of the all-hazard mitigations, and I think it was at Olson & Associates.
Olson & Associates, yep.
And so this is where every township, Mark, tried to get them to turn something in, whether it be a culvert or something, so they could
right.
get put into the program to be considered. Whether or not they actually completed that project, at least they were involved in the project. And there were some public bodies that didn't put anything in, so they're not eligible for anything. And so
right.
one of the biggest problems they had as he would go around and have these meetings was getting people to show up and sign something. And he had to chase people down to get them to sign things to be part of this program.
Sure.
So it's good federal dollars, I believe, that are coming in that are administered by, and I think that the Lower Big Blue is actually the financial.
They are the financial
agent. So
all money goes through them.
Hey, Maria, am I reading this right? The total project would be about $214,000.
Correct.
With it's 160 for our consultant. Is that in addition to, or that comes out of that 240,000?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's all part of that, though.
It's right here.
This is basically an update to that plan that we had set 8 years ago, or not quite 8 years. It's been 2008, so I've been 6 years ago. We had to keep up the plan to update it. We had to have it done by 2016 to still continue with plan to then to be continued eligible for any type of grants for programs like that.
Is this a yearly type thing? Or is this total dollars anticipated?
Just total dollars. And we got that money through a grant also. We applied for a grant for that $200,000 or whatever, and we did get accepted for that. The money then has to be to counter that grant, from my understanding, is that $3,000 per county or NRD or whoever is part of that. That's the money that we have to invest into that grant.
Sure doesn't make it.
And that can be done through in-kind, from my understanding.
Yeah,
and that should be. We got both FEMA and NEMA grants, didn't we, through this?
Well, also this hazard mitigation grant also is a need, just in case you have a disaster. Like, for instance, the Hallam. If you don't have a type of hazard mitigation plan, then you are pretty much waiving your right to apply for any type of FEMA assistance in case something happened, like Pilger or something like that. That's my understanding on how this plan, what the need of the plan is for. It's just an extra step saying, federal government, I have a plan on my weaknesses, and this is how I plan to fix those to alleviate costs that may come towards the federal government again with disaster relief.
And this is an interlocal agreement between the Little Blue NRD, the Lower Blue NRD, the Upper Big Blue NRD, and Adams County, Clay County, Fillmore County, Gage County, Jefferson County, Knuckles County, Saline County, Thayer County, and Webster County.
Right.
So it's agreement between all those, and we're
right.
entering into that. So yeah, it's not something our county is going to manage or whatever.
No.
But this agreement, everybody together will work on that.
Right, and most of the other counties, except for this one, they have their bigger cities involved with their local or with their hazard mitigation plan, too. So that helps with some of that funding, and we're going to try to get Beatrice involved in the next one so it can help cost with them also. But
so this is the money just for the plan, not for. I was just looking at there's not a lot of money difference between consultation and total dollars. This isn't the dollars to go out and do the projects. This is just to keep the plan in place so that if there is a disaster, we can talk to FEMA or continue getting the grant dollars.
No, we're going to get out and visit with the locals and have meetings also, and that's where the consultants will be involved with, besides writing the plan. I don't know if you've ever seen the plan that we had in the past from Olson's. It was two big books like this. It was one of the second largest hazard mitigation plan that was ever developed in the United States, apparently, from what I understand, from what was talked about. hopefully we can downsize that a little bit, because there's a lot of things that we maybe overreached. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but we split every area up really to the minute level. Townships, but smaller villages, schools. I think one of them were like nursing homes, that type deal, where they really reached down really to the roots and got plans that way. And that was a little too far in there. We didn't need, there wasn't one of the requirements that we needed to do to do that. That's from what my understanding, what happened with that last plan, why it was so in depth, and it really wasn't needed to have an effective plan. Need to be a little bit more generic in a way.
This is basically the approval for the cooperation, the interlocal agreement for the planning effort.
Right. The continuing on of the next update of the plan.
Any more questions or comments? Vote.
We
don't have a motion? Oh, sorry. We were talking the whole time.
Yep.
Tim, come up and talk. Well, we need to entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve.
A second?
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
All right, Tim. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
Oh. Forgot to mention, Don did have me an email from Roger, too. Roger did go over this agreement and approve, review it and everything. So I forgot to mention that. Don handed me that. I forgot to read that. So thank you, Roger. Next up, approve or disapprove amendment number 10 to food contract between Gage County and CBM Management Service. Gus, you want to visit about that?
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, what this is, CBM is our food service provider for the jail. We signed a contract, I think, back about 2006 or 7. I thought probably it's time to do a little researching and seeing if we can do something a little better. I reached out to, well, before he reached out to CBM, he heard I was looking around. So we went into negotiations, and another company, CCF, I believe. Don't ask me what the acronym stands for, but another company that's in Beatrice or in Nebraska that deals with jails. So I asked them both to submit some different proposals to me. The contract we have currently has not changed. It's just amendment. When everything was all said and done, the dust had settled, I'm going to stay with CBM as my recommendation. Reason being is we've had good service with them over the years, but I thought they were getting a little pricey. So ended up being they did get my attention. They renegotiated on their price when they submitted it. They have a table that they use on your population. The one I'm just going to relate to you here is where the figure is. It's just going to use the meal cost for 21 to 25 inmates. That was what I put out for both companies. Currently with CBM, I was at $336 per meal for a total cost of $77,263.20. So if I stay in that 21-25 range, that's the dollar amount I'd have. The other company, CCF, they were going to be at $325 was their number, and that would be $74,733.75. So when all got said and done, CBM were to stay with us. Their new quote was $280 a meal, which was $64,386 for the year. In other words, it's a $12,877.20 savings the first year. And along with that, I negotiated right now the old way is we had a 2,600 meal calorie meal. And I like to go on a little more substantial, get less kites, in other words, or less complaints. I found out from their jail. So along with that, we moved up to 3,100 calorie meal and still had a savings of about $13,000. So that's why they're going to stay there in my recommendation to the board to do so. It goes on the Consumer Price Index in a year. We'll see where it goes at that point in time. But I think I got their attention by looking around elsewhere, and so that's a pretty substantial savings. They've been pretty good to work with. So I would recommend that to the board to vote for CBM. They did put on a contract match name, so you'll have to cross it off and put your name on it to do that. So, what?
Already got it changed.
Oh, you did? Good. So that's my recommendation. That's what it boils down to. Sizable savings and more proportions. So I can't ask for more than that. And I do test a tray once in a while. They call it dead man tray. They have to, in the contract, keep a tray there for me for so many days. So if somebody gets sick, or if I want to try a meal and take a look at it, I can see what it is, what it tastes like, and we'll know what's being served. So, and so far I'm still here, so it's not killing me yet anyway.
And the contract will extend through June 30th, 2017.
Yeah, they just did a three-year. We did that a while back anyway. And basically, if for some reason either party wants out, I think it's a 30-day notice written type thing. So it's not a real tight contract on that. So, but like I said, they served us pretty well in the past, and word got out real fast. I don't know how that I was looking around. They called me right away and they resubmitted their numbers again. So it was probably worth the getting the word out there to them, I guess. So.
Didn't get any bids for a Coleman camp stove and a case of beans.
MREs, right?
Yeah.
Gus, how often do these meals come in? Are they prepared, or how? Do
they have one full time and then one part time cook.
I see.
They're 24/7 all the time, every day, and they pay them their benefits and salaries, and they take care of all that for us. I don't have to worry about none of that. If I have problems with the food service and some of the cooks, and they deal with that internally. So, yeah.
I hope having better meals doesn't create higher occupancy rates.
Well, yeah, I hear that. But, no, I'm sure that probably not going to cause a problem for me. No, not anymore.
This isn't prime rib. This is, yeah.
If I knew there was going to be an agenda where it was going to go a long time, and again, in the noontime, I did want to bring over serving and let you guys have a meal once, just see what it's like. But your meetings really, really go to 12, so 11:30 in that area. So if it does, I might still do that one of these days.
It'll serve breakfast?
It's cold breakfast. That's a cold breakfast, and it's two hots and one cold. That's what the contract is. And once in a while, they're real good. They'll throw in a warm breakfast, you know, and then the meals on holidays or a little nicer, you know. So they're not treated like animals. They get by.
It's still jail.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. But I did. I went out to Buffalo County because he was one of the jails close to me. They had a 3-100 count on the, and I looked at it and he said I hardly ever get complaints, and so it's not cost me. It's cost me less actually to go more. So we're going to try it and see how it goes for a year. So,
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve.
Motion approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Durgens. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gus.
Thanks, Gus.
Approve or disapprove of amending resolution number 14-26.
Let's see if they're ready for that.
If who's ready?
Roger and the guys could try to adjust the change if they wanted.
We'll make a motion to approve resolution 14-26.
So the new resolution number will be 15-02 then.
15 what?
15-02.
15-02. And this is to the roads at 3 miles north or south of 136, rather. It would be on the current resolution as it stands. The amended portion would be what is noted as 136 south to Blue Springs, and the sections East 6, East 7, and East 18, those will be lifted to the state standards.
Which?
Rockford Township.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Bowen, second by Hill. More discussion?
And, Galen, as you told us previously, that road was built differently when it was originally constructed because of the two rock quarries that were operating at that time.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is Monday, Friday, I guess last Friday, our committee meeting from Beatrice Concrete. What was his name yet? Meyer?
Jerry Meyer.
Jerry Meyer.
It was his concerns about, you know, they were operating out of there, you know, constantly. Like I say, they're not going over axle. They're just having more axles than most people carry, and our intention was that we really didn't want to go over that 80,000 total gross limit on any of the blacktop roads. In fact, we increased a bunch of them up to these higher standards after the bond issue was passed, and we did repair some of these roads, but we didn't want to go over that 80. Basically, the farmer has that overload permit in the fall. We really didn't want to see that overload permit being able to use on the blacktop roads constantly, because we just feel it's going to be premature pavement breakup, and these roads cost a lot of money to keep up, you know, as best we can. So we have to try to protect them a little bit. So that 80,000 is the standard we went by. I myself didn't consider that particular road how it was used and constructed there. So that's why, you know, it's our recommendation to increase that, you know, to a state standard on those north 3 miles or south 3 miles, 136.
Basically, what we're doing is taking off the $80,000 limit on there and going by state standards on just those 3 miles north of the rock quarry. Yep. And because the reason being because of the volume of traffic that we forgot to take into account
type of traffic
more than volume of traffic, but they do a lot of business out of there. There are a lot of vehicles come out of there every day, and we didn't quite discuss it good enough or think about it when we came up with our proposal for the weight limits. John,
the type of traffic, and that road was designed originally differently to handle heavy traffic.
All the weight. Eric?
Are the other roads all designed to 80,000 pounds in, or when they were just wondering, I mean, is that what he used as his?
Well, we'll tell you in 5 years. You know, yes. Yes, supposedly all the roads are capable of carrying that kind of limits on there. Yeah, but and like anything else, if you know, the road is going to last not near as long if you over, you know, or when traffic counts and everything else.
It's Eric, when we went with that weight limit or whatever, that 80,000 pounds, part of it was Mark Minnelli. We asked that same question to him. Will our roads be able to handle that or not? And he felt comfortable that, yes, our roads would be able to handle that 80,000 pounds. So that was part of our decision, or part of why we decided to do it. So we just didn't take some farmer's opinion or whatever and run with that, no. Leonard, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. Do you put any limits on it if the frost comes out like a lot of states do?
Leonard, you need to come up here and ask. Yeah, we got to have you on. Yeah.
Leonard Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road again. Do you put any limits on it till the frost goes out, like
no.
on these new blocks?
No, these are year-round standards that we're going by here.
You don't?
Mm-mm. Think we should?
Think there's a must for it? Need for it?
Undoubtedly, during the spring is when most of the damage will occur. You'll see most of the damage then. I agree, but, you know, on certain roads, I mean, I'm just thinking of the Philly Adams Road, you know, that's going to be used as a main thoroughfare, you know, to the ethanol plant, you know, and that's when a lot of grain gets moved as is in spring, you know, so I think it would be a detriment to do that. We're shouldering all these roads now, or Galen is. We're putting a shoulder on all these roads, and, you know, it'll be a work in progress for this next season to get all that done, so that'll help. We think we'll get the little wider shoulder on there and to help to keep it where it needs to be.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Some other states, you know, they
do that.
Yeah. And my thought is we should discuss the frost limit, especially until these roads are shouldered and they have a chance for those shoulders to be in place for some time and kind of protect that road somewhat from frost damage.
At next committee meeting, I'll put you in charge of bringing that question up or remembering that question so that we can discuss it then. I think that's something I think we should discuss at our next committee meeting again. not that really won't be a part of this amendment to the resolution, but very much so we can sure discuss that at our next committee meeting. Any more questions? Vote 7-0 to approve. That's all. The next thing on here is closed session for litigation and real estate, and there will be a decision coming out of that.
Byron, before you do that, I'd like to personally make a comment. I'd like to thank Matt for the 2 years of service as chairmanship. He's done an excellent job, and I'll miss him up there. So
I'm not closer.
Okay.
I may end up trading with you, Matt. You can just go at it.
No, I'll echo that comment, too. Matt did a very, very good job, handled the meetings very well and communicated very well. I think that I think a lot of people can see that by the way the board is made up, or the way the board's been, meetings been running and everything and stuff. Matt did a very, very good job. And so we thank you very much for your
Thomas, good luck to you.
Yep, totally agree.
So I need a motion to go into closed session for litigation and real estate.
I would move to go into closed session to discuss litigation and real estate.
State your reason.
Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
I will second Danny's desire to go to closed session. We
have motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Vote.
Got Bauman trained now.
7-0 to go in closed session.
Knock it off.
Okay.
Move to come out of closed session at 10 o'clock.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman to come out of closed session at 10 o'clock. Vote 7-0 in favor.
You ready, Myron?
Yes.
Okay. I move to approve offer to purchase tax certificate 11132 as presented by Ing Marstad.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. And this is on a property down by the county barn. And do I need to read this in, Roger?
No, I think just what I would just suggest, cost outlay for the county pursuant to this motion.
And it's to do the interest in a tax certificate 11132, and the redemption amount is $2,149.18 as of January 21st, 2015. Also, would include attorney fees of $225. That'd be it. Any more questions or comments? Or all in favor, vote. Or I shouldn't say all in favor, vote. Vote 7-0 in favor. And Roger will be handling the rest of this.
I'll talk to Dawn and we'll get her transacted. I got a few minutes. Sign that. I didn't know who was going to be there, so you'll have to cross.
I'll probably send the deadline. I'll probably issue a petty cash check again.
Okay.
For you.
All right.
Won't have another audit quick enough. Great. So I'll have to do that. Yeah. Oh, you got it.
Oh, he had one too.
I'll take that copy.
Oh. Okay.
I was going to say, I'll leave the original.
You made my day, Lytle.
Make a copy and send one to me off.
Okay, or I had him sign too.
Good now.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
I'm ready to go.
I'll touch base with him. We'll see how he wants to.
We can start meeting anytime.
Anybody else? Comments for the good of the public? If not, we stand adjourned at 10:02.